But we're going to go ahead. We're going to do the announcements here first. And Pastor Pamela is going to be doing that first in what needs to be shared and said. And then after she does that, I've asked Cameron to share just a little bit before the offering and everything. Just kind of, you know, we got our kids going to youth camp, and there's 19 of them going. So we are believing God, you know. And you guys were so precious, you know. There was $1,200 come in, I think, last Sunday and stuff. But I told him, well, you know what, just go out there and preach your heart out a little bit there and talk to him. And then I'm going to come back. He's just going to share for about 10 or 15 minutes and just to share with you, just to share his heart about what God wants to do, because camps change people's lives. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Pastor Pam, go ahead and come on and you just share everything that's going on in the world today.
All right. Amen. All right. Start in Iran.
No,
come on. We're getting to kind of the close of taking people for kids for VBS. So I do want to encourage you, if you haven't registered your kids, we need you to register ASAP, because we don't want your kid to be without a t-shirt and a backpack. And so I have to get all these things ordered. But I do want to let you know, we did open it up to pre-K and K. So if you have children that are pre-K and K, we will have a class for them as well. And yeah, it's 4 and 5, and they have to be potty trained. So, potty trained. But that's going to be nice. I know some of you kind of had one of each age, and so we had quite a few of you, and so we wanted to accommodate for that. And just know, you know, this isn't being trained for the Olympics. That's not what VBS is for, right? This mega sports camp is not going to get your child to the Olympics. But what they will learn at this VBS mega sports camp is what a true champion is. You know, what it is to listen to instructions, to follow the rules in a biblical sense. And so this is important. It's not just, you know, I want my child to be the best soccer player, so I'm taking them to mega sports camp. No, we may not teach them the best skills. Although we have very skilled people, actually, that's going to be doing the coaching. But we really want to teach them how to discipleship them into how to be, you know, a team player. You know, you can't be the superstar, right? You've got to, all sports are all about the team. And so they're going to be learning these in VBS. So I encourage you, we have so much fun, and you know I spoil them. So I just want to extend that to you and to sign them up. And then also this week, starting tonight, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we have Mario Morello is back in the tent. Yeah. Amen. What a blessing. Pastor Mark and I, we got to go back and visit with him and Michelle and the pastors, James and Charisse. So they're so sweet. And what hearts for God, you know, what hearts for the city of Stockton. And I know some of you have gone out. Miss Ruth, I don't see you. Oh, there you are. How could I miss you in your pretty pink? Ah, she's been out there hitting the pavement, prophesying, preaching, leading people to Christ with the tent, with Mario Morello's ministry. And probably some of you others might have gone too. But, you know, this isn't a church thing. This isn't about Life Song. This is about Life Jesus. Amen. And if you have not gone, I mean, this is something in historical. It really is historical. You need to show up at the tent. And there's something very special about revival tent meetings. And they're powerful. The anointed worship. Catherine is Mullen, is that how you say her name? She's anointed, though. She's powerful. And so you will be blessed. This is a time for you to think of that unsaved one that could go to that tent, because Mario has such a strong anointing on people coming to Christ. Drug addicts. Do you have people in your family that are struggling with drug addiction, alcoholism, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of isms out there that keep us in bondage. You know, I encourage you to show up. And he has a powerful anointing for healing. You know, he has some major miracles. So I encourage you, I believe it's at 6 o'clock. 6:30. Thank you. 6:30. Is that each night at 6:30? Each night at 6:30. You want to get there at least an hour early, I would suggest, right? To get a good seat. Half hour? Okay, half hour early. And then lastly, next Sunday is what? Father's Day, which means you get the root beer, the dad's root beer. I always get one too. I don't know why, but I do. They're so good. So next Sunday, I know Sean has some great things, and Samantha, they all have some great things planned for you dads. So make sure, you know, bring your dad if you can. I know some of us, I don't have my dad here, but if your dad is here, you know, encourage your dad to come. And I know Pastor Mark is going to have a wonderful message just for the fathers. So I think that's it. So God bless you. And Cameron, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Amen. Amen. Well, you get two sermons for the price of one today. We're having a great deal. But no, but really, I'm really just going to share for a few minutes. And I'm excited to share because I want to talk about why our summer camps are so important and why we make such a big push for our fundraisers. And what I'm doing this morning is I'm not saying that this would be nice if it could happen. I am coming to the body of Christ this morning and I am presenting a need for young people in our church. In less than 2 weeks, we are leaving for summer camp. And this year we have more people signed up than we ever have before, which, praise God, that's really exciting. It also presents a bigger need than we've ever had before in the past, too. And I will say it's the most amazing thing that my wife and I get to do as youth pastors. It is also the most stressful thing that we do all year as youth pastors. But it's amazing. We wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Amen. And so for the next few minutes, my goal is just to highlight to you the importance of our summer camp and to ask if you would consider partnering with us. So before we go into this short message, would you pray with me real quick? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for each one that is here. And Father, I just pray that you would just take over every word that I say. God, that no word of my own would come out, but only the word of the Lord. And so, Father, I just ask that you would help all of us in this room, God, to open our hearts and open our minds. And God, help us to receive everything that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for the past few weeks, we have been teaching in the youth on the book of Habakkuk, and he is a unique prophet. Traditionally, a prophet will speak to the people on behalf of God. He would have to say exactly what God told him, and if anything the prophet did not Anything the prophet said did not come to pass, he would find out if what he believed about God was right or not. They would kill him. Because after all, if God is inerrant and God does not lie, if it did not happen, that means that God did not say it. But instead, what's different about Habakkuk is he actually speaks to God on behalf of the people, similar to how Moses did before. Habakkuk, he pours out his complaints to God about the circumstances of his life, and the Lord replies. Those of you who have read that book before, you know that he was not exactly thrilled about what the Lord told him. Habakkuk pours out a second complaint, but he doesn't hear a reply right away. Instead, we see something different, and it's just the one passage I want to look at in this book. And it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I will climb up to my watchtower, and I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. He says, there I will wait to see what the Lord says. And what Habakkuk is doing is he's positioning himself to hear from the Lord. Amen. He's positioning himself to hear from God. And that is exactly what we do at summer camp. The biggest thing that we do is we take young people away from what they do every single day, away from their stress, away from the causes of their anxiety, away from the things that cause them depression, and we take them to a place where we can remove all of that at least for a weekend so that they can hear from the Lord. And at a summer camp just like this, God spoke to me about some of the most important decisions in my life. Every year on Thursday nights at camp, one of my mentors, Donnie Moore, who's gone on to be with the Lord, he shared about the call of God that each one of us have on our lives. And almost 15 years ago, when I was 14 years old, I can tell you the exact spot I was in, just off to the right, in the very front of the altar on a Thursday night. and the Lord called me into youth ministry. And my wife has the exact same story. She can tell you the exact spot at that same very camp where God called her into ministry. My wife had a call of God on her life long before she had anything to do with me. Okay. But if not for that camp, I don't even want to think about where my life would be today. I can't even imagine what it would be like. And on a serious note with that, I would have never been able to go if it weren't for the kindness and generosity of others. See, with summer camp, the problem for me was always the finances. I would have never been able to go, not one time. And every single time, God made a way for me.
Amen.
Every single time. Whether it was a nameless sponsor or sitting there on a Sunday in church, seeing my grandma take out her checkbook and sliding it to me. Every single time I went, it's because the kindness of others. And can I tell you something? Money don't scare me anymore. Because I know God has plenty of it. Amen? Amen? Even as a young adult, when we were first talking to Pastor Mark and Pastor Pam, and we were working with Pastor Adam about Samantha and I coming to this church and taking over as the youth pastors, there was a lot of doubt that I had. It was a lot of insecurity I had. And at that very camp, and again, I can tell you the exact spot. And it wasn't at the altar. It was outside the swimming pool. Because the anointing just carried over on the whole campus. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me peace that Harvest Bible Church was going to be my home.
Amen.
And we've been here for almost 8 years now.
Amen.
I got married in this church. My children have been brought up in this church. And some of my closest friends in the entire world are in this church with me today, and I get closer to them every single week. But as I look back more and more on my life, I realize that I owe everything that I have to moments where I was positioned to hear from God. And if not for me to be in this position to hear from the Lord, where would my life be today? See, the reason that we're here today, and you know what I'm sharing this morning is it's more about summer. It's more than just summer camp. It's more than just financially supporting students. What I'm talking about this morning is saying yes to God. Someone who always used to speak at camp, Tim Delana, he had this prayer, and he said, "God, before you ask, the answer is yes. Before you ask, the answer is yes." The reason any of us are in this church and not standing in a laundromat is because Pastor Mark said yes to God over 30 years ago. I'm standing here today because men and women of God before me have said yes to God. My former youth pastor, who helped me walk through what it means to be in youth ministry and how to start, was called to a new city and to a new church, and he said yes. And that's the reason he was my youth pastor. Before he was a youth pastor at that church, there was a church that needed a youth pastor, needed someone in the temporary, and Steve Lamb said yes, and he youth pastored my youth pastor. And several years ago, Pastor Sean Pritchard, who's been a part of the camps that I've gone to since I was 12 years old, he asked me if we would like to be a part of his camp. And I said yes. And here's my final thoughts. What I'm asking you this morning is not just will you give financially, will you help our students, but I'm asking if the Lord would ask you to do it, would you say yes to him? See, the church is not a cruise ship. It is nobody's job in the church to sit back and relax and watch everything unfold before them. The church is a battleship. Amen? Especially in the times that we're in. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a responsibility. And the kingdom of God needs exactly what you have to offer. So if the Lord would put it on your heart, would you consider saying yes?
Yes.
If Pastor Mark asks you for help when the new chairs come in, would you consider saying yes? If Mr. Sean or Miss Samantha ask you to give up one Sunday a month to volunteer in kids ministry, would you consider saying yes? And this morning, what I'm asking is if the Lord would put it on your heart, would you consider supporting financially for our students to go to camp?
Yes.
And I'm asking if you would consider to say yes. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll receive the offering in.
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for each one that is here. Father, I thank you that you can supply abundantly everything that we ask and need, Father. And so, Father, we are just believing for everything that we need financially to come in to support our young people to go to camp. Because, Father, I believe that at that camp there is breakthrough waiting. Father, there is revival waiting. There is healing waiting. And, Father, I just believe that at that camp, chains of depression will be broken and left. The chains of anxiety will be broken and left there at those altars. And that our young people will come home changed and transformed. And, Father, ready to serve you in an even greater way than they are now.
Amen.
And so, Father, I thank you for everything that comes. I thank you, Lord, that you will use it for these young people to go to camp. And Father, you are just wanting to change and to touch their lives while they're there. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Ushers, would you come? Yes, so each student is 200 for the price of camp here. Because I know people will ask about sponsoring, you know, a full student. So thank you all for what you're giving. We are hoping to get 4,500 to 5,000 on top of what we already have. And praise God, every kid who wants to go is going to go. Amen?
Amen.
Declare. Amen. Well, junior high, Matthew and you guys can go ahead and take off, and then Pastor will come.
Amen. Good job, buddy. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, such a heart. And what a blessing that it is. Hallelujah. Because we want to. You know, we want to be a blessing. We want to do. We want to help them go and help nobody gets left behind. Amen. And you guys are awesome. You always are all awesome. But we were just talking and, you know, I said, hey, you need to do this. So it was a real blessing. Of course, you also have next week, too, if you didn't plan anything. Those of you watching, you know how to do it. You can just put the youth in there. That would be a tremendous blessing for them. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. No, we always like to let you know the need. God always meets and supplies the need. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. God's got more than enough. Amen? That's the wonderful thing about it. God's always supplied, and he always will supply. He just wants to use you. He wants to use people because he wants you to be blessed. Yes. Amen? That's God's heart. It's his desire. He always. And isn't it amazing about, there's a word that I love, and it's called synchronicity. It means everything is tied together. You know, we've got, you know, I mean, Brother Steve, you know, is our head usher and everything and just being a blessing. And many years ago, and being the youth guy, ministering to a young man who ended up going into youth ministry, who ends up affecting Cameron, who comes back here, and the hand of God. And everybody you meet, there's a divine connection, amen, that there's some things that take place. You may not know it now, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 5 years, but all of a sudden God brings things around. Because I don't believe there's any, our steps are ordered of the Lord, so I don't believe there's just insignificant times in the things of God. What happens is that many times we go through the motions and we think it's insignificant, but it's not. Every person we come in contact with, glory to God, needs encouraged, needs strengthened, and they may be the ones strengthening us and encouraging us. Praise God. Amen. And so thank you for allowing us to do that and for him to share his heart and his just, and I really appreciate that about him and Samantha. They just have a heart for God. They're tremendously blessed. Amen.
Can you or she tell us a little bit about Turning Point?
Oh, did you want to tell us a little bit about Turning Point? Hallelujah. You know what? I preach every Sunday. I'm coming back next week too, you know. I have no problem. I mean, I've got a great thing I want to continue to, but you know what? And then God's got something he wants to say, in just a minute here. But I'm really, first of all, I'm really, really proud of Pastor Pam. For those of you that don't know, you know, she's a hero. And, because if you didn't watch it, if you didn't see anything about it, there was a tremendous amount of opposition there. There was all kinds of folks outside rioting. They had 60 cops outside trying to stop people from crashing in and destroying things. And there are a few that got inside. So I'll let her share her little story about the one that sat right next to her that made national news. It's all over the internet worldwide. And thank God for her. And so go ahead, prophesy, share, do whatever. God's good. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have my compadres. Leticia and Samantha were with me. But it was amazing. We got there on Thursday and in Texas, San Antonio. And Friday, when I was getting ready for the service, I just began to pray for the service, and things were coming out of my mouth. I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm praying that way. But I specifically remember praying, Lord, I thank you that everywhere my foot treads, you've given to me, and I take my authority in Jesus' name. I pray the blood of Jesus over, this conference, over, all the speakers. And then I got Samantha and Leticia, and we prayed again, just that day, just before we went in, and Erica Kirk was going to be the opening speaker. And so while we moved probably two or three times, inside the auditorium, and we finally landed in a spot that we liked. And so this young girl, she's looking for a seat, and I wave her down. I said, you can sit here. So she came and she sat by me. And you know me, I'm Chatty Cathy. So I'm like, hey, where are you from? So, I'm getting conversation from her, find out she's from Orange County. And I go, oh, that's not too far. She goes, yeah, it's actually very far. I go, well, no, I'm a Californian, so it's not far from me. And so anyway, just small talking with her. And I knew, I just kind of felt like she just didn't really want to have a conversation too much. But she was complying with my poking. I'm like a mama there is what I felt like. Mom, all these girls were young. They're high school, college age girls. It was the leadership, the Young Women's Leadership Conference. And there was 3,000 girls there. It was amazing. And anyway, out comes, Erica Kirk. I love Erica Kirk. I love Turning Point USA. The whole thing was phenomenal. It was such an experience to see all these beautiful women, the young girls on fire for Jesus and their nation, their country, and, just wanting to be married and have children. They were normal, young girls just... It was beautiful, just their hearts, and but anyway, so Erica Kirk comes out and she's sharing, probably about 15 minutes into her her speech, she's sharing. I noticed the girl kept going in and out of her bag, and so my spirit got checked, and so I thought, I'm watching her get in and out of her bag. I thought, if she pulls out a gun, I'm jumping her, So I was ready to jump her. I'm from Stockton. I mean, come on. This is how we roll around here. So, security team, you might want to get me something up here. I'll have your back. But I always think about that. I know it's weird, but I think about if somebody comes down the aisle, what am I, throw a shoe at them or something? Anyway, she's getting in and out of her bag, and so my spirit's checked about it. And she stands up and she starts yelling, you can see this on, like you said, on the internet. She starts yelling, something horrible towards Erica Kirk. And so I'm looking okay, who's anybody going to do anything? By the second time she said it, I was done. And so I jumped up and it was just the Holy Spirit. Because later you think, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. But I just jumped up and I went and I started pushing her. I said, oh no, you got to go. You got to go. And so she was complying with me. She was moving with me. And the security guards came and took her, took her from that point on. When I sat down, I noticed the other girls were bringing to my attention. She had left behind an open bottle of what ended up being a really stinky, smelly bottle of urine. And she had taken the cap off and set it down. And so her intentions, I don't know if her intentions were to go throw it at Erica or on our group, but come on, but Jesus. I give him the glory because she did not know who she sat by. 3,000 women, the Holy Spirit put her right next to me. And I was taking my authority in Jesus' name. And, she was not able to, it was dirty, nasty, stinky. It didn't even smell human. It was really bad. And I thank God. So there was a pregnant woman next to me and I was trying to cover up the smell with my sanitizer, And then the woman in front of me, she started, it was this two older ladies in front of me. The other lady's going, oh my gosh, are you okay? Okay. Well, what I just went through with Pastor Mark, I'm like Johnny on the spot. I'm thinking she's having a heart attack. And so I jump up and she can't breathe. And I'm like yelling, help, we need help. And I'm looking at the security guard and they're looking at me. My God, it's the woman in the pink coat again. I was starting to get embarrassed. And, so finally, they had an officer come and take her away, and we did run into her later, and she was okay. But God, I just marvel at the Lord. I'm a nobody. They didn't even know. I'm sure Erica Kirk didn't even know what was happening except for what this girl's screaming. But outside there was Antifa and there was a really bad protest going on. Really just nasty. They're just nasty. And, but my heart really went out for her because I was praying for her and I said, Lord, I go, people are just cussing her out. You can see it in the video and you watch the protesting going outside and the police officers are hitting them and they're hitting the police officers. And it's just awful. I see young girls doing that. I think what would possess a young girl to go spit in the face or hit an officer and want to be hit back. And the Lord really spoke to my heart. And it's like, just like people who cut themselves, when they cut themselves, they feel like they deserve punishment. And I felt like the Lord was showing me that people are so broken inside that this hostility back toward them is what they feel they need and deserve. They need Jesus. They need deliverance. They need to know that, it's Satan to the core, what was happening to them. But so my heart goes out to her. I'm praying for her. I don't know her name, but I felt like I was her little mama that day. So, but the whole conference was phenomenal. The speakers were phenomenal. It's just, I really felt like when I walked in there and sat down, it's like, I felt like I was with my kind, this is my village right here. And just to hear women of God talking so bold and brave about their faith in Jesus Christ. We had, I'm gonna forget all the names, but, we had some of the press secretaries, oh my goodness, two press secretaries that were of Trump's that were there, and they're sharing stories and heartaches that they were going through, but their faith in Christ is what kept them, and, their prayer life, and some of these women, they're tough. Like they're tough. Like they've got like an arsenal of guns. Like you don't want to mess with these ladies and they're bad, and in a good way. and it was just, but it was great to hear people proud of your nation and proud of marriage and, pro-life, speaking for life and speaking for having as many babies as you can, and just, of course they were honoring Charlie Kirk's legacy. And so it was beautiful. So it was a wonderful time. I came back so full and I had so many connections. I got a lot of connections there and I'm excited about that, because that was kind of my goal, was to get some connections with different ministries, with pro-life and different things. So it was awesome. So anyway, you can help me pray for that young girl. I don't, like I said, I don't know her. Matter of fact, can we just pray really fast? Father, I don't know this girl, but you know her, Father. We as church, as Harvest Bible Church, we pray. You put her right next to me. So God, I take covering over her in Jesus' name. And we as a church corporately, we pray for her deliverance. We pray that someday there will be a testimony of her coming out and saying there was some crazy lady in a pink coat next to me. And, you know, and God, you'll turn her life around for Jesus. And she will be, God, just a that bold and brave to take a stand for Jesus and righteousness and justice. So, Father, go after her. Pursue her, God. Lord, turn her life around. We ask in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit that's antagonizing, tormenting her, God. You know what her life and her past is. We pray for her deliverance, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Now, as far as we know, there wasn't any other disturbances or anything that took place, right?
They got in the hotel, but they did. No one else got in
the meeting.
Yeah, we had police officers.
Oh, okay. After that, you had police officers. Yeah. Well, hey, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, yes, you know, praise God that she sat down next to Pastor Pamela. Amen. Well, I'm going to share a few moments, and then we're going to do this. We'll be out of here, no, and all good things. You just got three today. How's that? But I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, because I want to just continually go on what I've been sharing about concerning the Holy Spirit and making us holy and justification and sanctification, but also realizing what the greater one does on the inside of you today. You know, thank God that, as Pastor Pam shared, you know, she prayed about the authority that she has. And I'm thoroughly convinced that if she hadn't have, there would have been a lot more chaos and a lot more things happen. And it would have, instead of it being a testimony, it would have been, oh my gosh, can you believe what this transpired? We all had to get up. We all had to leave. We all had to go. But no, nobody had to leave. Nobody had to go. Why? Because we don't let the devil have his way. Amen. You know, we as the church, we have authority. Amen. And you need to understand that. Glory to God. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that gives us the authority. Amen. He's the greater one on the inside of us. Hallelujah. You know, he says this in 1 John chapter 4. And I'm actually going to read verses 1 through 6 for you out of the King James. He just said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Well, it was in the world when John was writing, it's in the world today. Amen. Verse 4 says, "You are of God." What an amazing thing. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Out of all of the false spirits, all the false things, all the enemy. Amen. "And you have overcome them." Why? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. "They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God." Hallelujah. "He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us." Hears us not. You know, it says, "Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Aren't you glad for the word of God? Aren't you glad for the spirit of God? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the truth. I'm so glad that we know what the Bible says and we can take hold of the truth of the word of God, because it changes us. So many times Christians are unsure about what they believe. They're unsure, well, is this right? Is that right? I don't know. Who's right? God's right. And if you take hold of the word of God, you'll understand that. Hallelujah. And when you take hold of this, the Bible tells us we get to try the hearts. We get to try the spirits of people. Amen? That's why the minute that she said, you know, "In my spirit, something's not right." And that's the first thing, you know, okay, something's not right about the situation that's taking place. What's happening here? What's going on? Amen? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to alert us. His job, hallelujah, is to guide us into all truth, and his job is to show us things to come. His also, his job is to lead us, hallelujah, so that we know what to do, what to say, and how to combat the thing that we're coming against. And thank God for that. I think we stir up the gift of God on the inside, and we believe that. See, that's the thing about the Word of God. It doesn't work unless you believe it. You got to believe what God says. Amen? You got to believe that what he says is true. Because do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the greater one lives on the inside of us? That greater is he that is in us because we're born again than he that's in the world. Now, see, the world wants to turn and say, oh, you just think you're better. No, I'm saved. I'm full of life. Hallelujah. I mean, you're miserable. I'm not. I can't help that. But I'm not going to be miserable with you. Amen. But then they get really mad at that because they want you to be miserable. They want you to see, because, you know, people talk about, well, we just need to be tolerable. You need to understand that the spirit of the world is not tolerable. They don't want to tolerate you. You have to either be like them or you have to die. Period. End of sentence. That's the devil. That's why we have the situation with Israel. That's why we have the situation with light and darkness. The people of the world, they're not our enemy in flesh and blood. It's the devil who's our enemy. He just can't stand it. He can't stand for you to have him because he's full of envy and full of hatred. There is no truth in him at all. Amen? It's what Jesus said that. So when you understand that he's out there, oh man, the devil. No. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, Satan does walk around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. But the very next verse says, but resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. And the Bible says, if we resist the devil, he flees from us. He runs away from us. We stand. Why? Because we believe this. And if we believe that the Spirit of God in us guides us into all truth, then we know truth. We know what the Word of God says. Amen. See, when you know the Word of God, you don't get in arguments with the world. Thank you for your overwhelming response. When you know the truth, you're at peace within yourself and you're at peace with everybody else. It doesn't bother you if somebody disagrees with you. That's how you know the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. The spirit of error always wants to fight. The spirit of error always wants to explain itself. Amen. We don't have to explain ourselves. We just get to decree the Word of God and say, you have a choice to believe it or not to believe it. That's what we're doing. We're sharing truths from the Word of God. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. It benefits you when you believe it. It totally benefits you. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God that lives and dwells on the inside of me. I'm so thankful that I got born again. I'm so thankful that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that he's my teacher. He's my guide. I'm so thankful that the Bible declares that he said, I'm going to guide you into all truth, and I'm going to show you things to come. I mean, isn't it amazing? God said, okay, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die for you, and so that you believe on him, you're going to get born again. But not only that, I'm going to send my spirit so he can teach you and guide you, because I know you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. And then I know that my spirit, the Holy Spirit, came upon men of old and they wrote the Word of God. I told them what to say and what to do. Now I'm going to send him who told them what to say and what I'm going to do. And I'm going to reveal it and I'm going to help you understand it. I mean, what more could God do? Okay? He sent Jesus so we could be born again. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost so we'd understand what it means to be born again. So we'd understand what it means to be have more than a conqueror. What it means to have the greater one on the inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit's revealing himself. He's revealing his power through us. Amen. That's what he's supposed to do. I mean, all these things about the Holy Spirit, what he's supposed to do, first of all, is he can fix the whole world of sin. And that's why they're so mad. That's why they're so angry. That's why they act so crazy. Okay? But the only difference between them and you is that you have Jesus. And you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And it's the love of God that compels us. It's the love of God that just constrains us, that wants, makes us reach out and want to preach gospel to them. Reach the love of Jesus to them. Amen? Because we know they just need Jesus. The only problem is they just need Jesus. Amen. And that's what they need. They do that. Hallelujah. They totally need that. Amen? And the only way they can see it for real is that we stand strong. We're not afraid. to boldly. Because that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He helps us speak boldly. Boldly the things of God. Amen? Why is that so important? Because in this day and age, you got to stand up for righteousness and truth. And yes, you stand up strong. Say, no, I'm unashamed to be a Christian. Unashamed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? I mean, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul said it like this to the Romans. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto the Jew first and unto the Gentiles. Amen? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. This is verse 17. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, and the just shall live by faith. Amen? So it sounds like we're being argument. It sounds like, oh, you just, no, we're just proclaiming the word of God, and the word of God is power. That's why the word of God is powerful. The word of God changed. One seed from the word of God can change everything. And here's the thing. We're not afraid of the future. Aren't you glad you know the future? You do. You're there in 1 John. Go over to John's Gospel, chapter 16, just real quick. Just real quick. John chapter 16. Hallelujah. Amen. I quote this scripture a lot because I believe it. Because the Spirit of truth has come. John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's supposed to show us things to come so that we're not taken unaware. Amen? Yeah. Amen? I think he wants to show a lot of us things to come more than we're realizing, but we're not listening. Amen? In fact, I think that's one of the most important things, because he doesn't want you to end up falling in a ditch. He doesn't want you to end up going through some things that you're going through because you're not listening and you're directing his step. Amen? But the Holy Spirit wants to show you things to come. Amen? I mean, there's so many things in my life that if I'd have listened to the Holy Spirit, it wouldn't have had to gone through. Amen? Amen. I thought, you know what, Lord, glory. Hallelujah. I mean, it's so amazing. Look what it says behind that, though. It says, here he goes, he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak. You know, and he says he will show you things to come. He's going to hear what Jesus said. He's going to glorify. He's going to take of what Jesus said, and he's going to declare it to you and me so we can walk in it. Amen. Amen? What an amazing statement. When you look at the word of God, see, many times we go, yeah, I'm again. You feel like you're all by yourself. But man, when you look to the inside of you, the greater one on the inside, you draw up the things of God. You can draw up joy. You can draw up peace. You can draw up long-suffering. You can draw up the love of God. You can draw it up and then let it come out of you. Amen? Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. The greater one, the greater one, the greater one, the greater one on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And you are of God. I remember something Shambach said one time way back in the day. Heard this over 40 some odd years ago, but he's gone to heaven. And if you don't know who R.W. Shambach is, he was a powerful evangelist, powerful preacher. And anyways, so he said this. He said, they were saying, well, how are we supposed to, you know, announce you? And he says, you just tell them the man of God is here. And the guy and the pastor said, well, I don't really want to say that. He goes, why not? He goes, 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God. I just want you to know, I am of God. Verse 6 says, we are of God. See, we have this tendency to let everybody else, all these other things that out in the world, intimidate us. Say, well, but yeah, but it's scientific. Yeah, but they've, you know, this, oh, they've got these facts and they got all this facts. They might have all the facts, they might have all the science, but they ain't got the truth. You know, one of my favorite stories is a person that his wife and daughter came to my church and got born again and gloriously just God touched their lives, and he was so mad. He was so mad. So he came there to just really scream and yell, and I don't know what he came there really for, but he came there, and he was, when he came there and he saw me, and he was only about 5'5", and I'm 6'3", so he looked at me and went, okay, I'm going to have to do something a little different here. But anyways, but he told me how old he was in dog years. That was his opening statement, and I thought, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation here, you know. And he was just ranting and raving. I thought, boy, he's working himself up. He's going to have a heart attack. Something's going to happen. And he kept telling me how smart he was, and he was so much smarter and blah, 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 blah. And he was talking about all these different books he'd read and all these different things. And I said, oh, calm down. I said, listen, here's the whole thing. You've chosen to brain, because he kept saying I was brainwashed. You brainwashed my wife. You brainwashed my daughter. I said, your wife got healed. Your daughter got saved. God's doing great things in their life. And it was a miraculous thing. And he goes, yeah, you just brainwashed. I said, no, they didn't brainwash. I just gave them the word of God. I said, here's the biggest thing. You just chose to be brainwashed with this, with all of these books, all the guys that you've just told me. That's who you've been brainwashed. And I just chose to be brainwashed with the Bible. I just chose that the Bible says the washing of the water by the word. So I've just washed my mind with the word of God. I just washed my mind. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. I'm happy. I'm full of joy. And you are in torment. I said, that's the difference. I said, that is the biggest difference. You know, when you see that, and that's the thing about it. When you're looking and you're talking to the world, they've just chosen to wash their brains with this junk over here. And you've chosen to wash yours over here. Amen? And that's why we can have great compassion. We can let the love of God that constrains us to reach into their lives and to minister words of life to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I mean, it's amazing. His wife and daughter stayed in our church. His daughter married a young man who became a detective, one of the big detectives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania there. And now he's retiring now. He's a little old now. But anyways, they were just precious and valuable. And God's lives, you know, were changed. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. Because I continue to believe that maybe he did on his deathbed. But God's grace. Amen. And what happens is people want to get you in that argument. They want to get you in that fight. You say, no, I just believe this. Here's what the Bible declares. Why? Because this is what he said. And here's the wonderful thing about it is the Holy Spirit's job is not only to show us things to come, but this one ought to help all of you that are just a little bit, you're not old, but a little older, is that the Holy Spirit's other job is to bring all things to our remembrance. Woohoo! Shanda, hallelujah. Take a moment and just thank God for that. Amen. Not only is he trying to show us the future, and that helps all the young folk, but man, us older folk, that bringing to remembrance is good stuff, man. Praise God. He's supposed to bring all those things. I mean, that's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all things that I've said unto you. I say, woo! You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, the memory of the just is blessed. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So we like that to be. Why is that so good? Because you need to be reminded of who you are in Christ. Let me wind this thing up. You need to be reminded that guess what? You're the church. Guess what? You're the body of Christ. Guess what? You're going to get to make heaven. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the key thing. How do I do that? By accepting Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. See, because it's a personal gospel. You can't go to heaven on your mama's faith, your dad's faith, your grandparents' faith, nothing. You got to go on yours. You got to receive it, and there's got to come a time when you got to believe God for yourself. Yes. Amen? You've got to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen? That's the heart of, you know, because that's what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. If we believe that Jesus came, that he lived, he died, and wanted to be my Savior, he forgives us of all of our sins. It's got to become personal. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, supernaturally. But once we get a hold of that, then we find out what the Word of God declares. Then Jesus, Holy Spirit's job is to keep reminding us of what Jesus did for us and keep revealing Christ to us so that we can know who we are in Christ. Who we are, not who we are in the flesh, but who we are, hallelujah, because we're part of the family of God. Hallelujah, we're part of the family of God. Amen? It used to amaze me, and this is something all of my life, it used to amaze me, because I grew up in church, but all of it, people would, you know, talk about just being a Christian, or just being a Christian, and I never understood, what do you mean, just being a Christian? What do you mean, I'm saved. It's like, what do you mean you're just saved? What do you mean you're just a Christian? Man, when you're born again, when you're saved, when you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are translated out of darkness and into light. Amen. You're got out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. And when you're a Christian and you're declaring that what you have, glory to God, you're in the body of Christ. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. You're alive unto God. And being alive unto God, it changes everything. Amen. Amen. I've never understood, because people have never taken being born again to making Jesus the Lord. So awesome. You don't have to have this crazy testimony to where you have to go out and be stupid, crazy. And you may have that crazy testimony. And thank God you finally came to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, all you got to do is read the Bible and begin to understand, man, this is what God did for me. Amen. I'm so glad. So glad, so glad, hallelujah, of what Jesus has done in my life. Amen? I like that song. It says, hey, listen, if I only know your heart and I don't even ever see your hand, I've got it more than enough. Why? Because I've got the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. It changes everything about it. It changes everything that I need. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for His amazing grace. Amen? You know, just the heart of the Father. One word from God can change your life forever. So we got to always be reminded. That's what we do. That's why we have churches. That's why we come to church, so we can be reminded of how good God is. We can be reminded of what God's done in our life. We can be reminded of what God's doing in our lives, hallelujah, and what we can do through Him. Amen. Because we're supposed to be declaring. We're supposed to be going outside of these walls and declaring the Word of God. Hallelujah. And why we're so happy. Why we're so full of joy. Why we have so much peace. Why we're not afraid of anything. Why we're not throwing up our hands and saying, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. No, we have hope. Because we have the blessed hope. Amen. We do. Hallelujah. And it's so amazing. It is so amazing that God's revealed them to us. Many times we don't do our spiritual heritage. We take it for granted. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, it's all cool. But you don't understand the power and the presence of God. Because you've got the greater one on the inside of you. You've got that blessed hope. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Many, many are at crossroads. And those crossroads are at different stages of our lives. which simply means there are those that are starting. There are those that have just begun. There are those that have been going for a little while. And then there are those that have been going for some time. And then there are those that have been going for a long time. But in each stage of life, in each stage that we're in, my word is a very present help in a time of trouble. My word will lead, guide, and direct. But when my word is empowered by the Spirit that was sent to reveal my word to you, it'll direct your steps. Think not that the best is behind. Think not that the best is ahead. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we stand in. And every day is a miracle day. Every day is a day of promise. Every day is a day of fulfillment of my word. Every day, every day. And each and every time that I desire, says the Lord, to bring things to pass, it'll be because I bring a word in due season to you. Yes, there have been things said and done. And yes, it seems like the world is so much even crazier now than ever. But no, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil is the devil. The enemy is the enemy. And his lies have been said before. But my truth has been declared before, and my truth will always stand. And just as I declared in Psalms, the lies of the enemy shall cease. And they shall cease for you when you decide to believe the word of God. When you decide to take this word and exchange it for the lies. Take the truth, because it always covers the lies. Light always dispels darkness. There can be great darkness, but one little candle dispels the darkness. One truth always wipes out the darkness. So no matter which stage of life, no matter whether it's starting, no matter whether it's going a little bit, going a little, going sometime, and been going a long time, every stage, the light of the gospel, it's the light of the word of God that changes. It's the light of the word of God that will dispel all the lies of the enemy. Because it is of truth that the Spirit of God in you is greater than all the enemies of the world. Because it's greater than you, is greater in you, hallelujah, than he that is in the world, talking about the devil, hallelujah. Because Jesus brought the devil to nothing. He defeated him, hallelujah. And he took the keys of death and hell, hallelujah. He took those keys and he defeated him, and he gave authority to his church, hallelujah. He gave authority to you and I. What does that mean? That means we don't have to be depressed. That means we don't have to be defeated. That means we don't have to be sad and disgruntled or whatever it is, all the signs of the enemy. Glory to God, but we've got the joy of the Lord. We've got the peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. We've got, hallelujah, what Jesus says we have. And we're the church. We're the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And God has placed us here for us. Father, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, thank you for today, that the hearts have been shared and things have been said. Father, we have a heart because we want to see lives changed. Lord, we know that there's revival, and revival is going on in the world right now. There are supernatural things that are going all over the place. Yes, yes, the noises and the lies of the enemy are going too. But Father, thank you. Your truth will always prevail. Lord, we honor you for it. And now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, we always want to give an opportunity of people to get born into the kingdom of God, people to come to Jesus, people to know that if they died today, they would make heaven their home and miss out on hell. Father, our heart's desire, if there's anybody here or anybody watching that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their personal Savior, if you're here, that's what it's all about. Amen? And then you can grow from there on out. We teach and we share with the church. But man, the starting point is Jesus. The starting point is receiving. And it changes your life. So if you're here and you'd say, you know what, Pastor? I want to be born again. I know you said I'd call on the name of the Lord. And it is true. It's simple. It's a very simple prayer that says, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior because I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and cleansing me. Very simple prayer, but it's you meaning that it changes everything. And we can lead you in it. You can do it right where you're at. Hallelujah. But God loves you. And the reason we always do this is because when you lift your hand, you're acknowledging God. Here am I. Run to me. And God says, hey, the minute that you acknowledge him, he runs to you. It's like the prodigal son's father. The minute he saw his son afar off, he ran to him. It's a type of our Father God. So if you're here and you need Jesus, just raise your hand real high. Let's pray. Glory to God. Don't be, amen. Just raise it up there. Glory to God. God loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for that. We just thank you. Praise you. Father, I thank you for Harvest Bible Church. I just thank you for your amazing grace upon them. Father, thank you for all of our youth that are going to get to go to camp. Thank you for your divine protection upon Pastor Pamela and all the things there. Thank you for the boldness that she had. And Lord, we just thank you for Stockton. And we thank you for all the surrounding areas of that. Father, thank you for lives to be changed tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night in the tent. That lives to be changed, multitudes of people be born into the kingdom of God. Father, let you get all the glory and all the praise for everything that's done. Lord, we honor you. We thank you, Father, for your amazing grace upon our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hey, let's all stand up. We're going to have our prayer team come forward. If you need prayer for anything, they're here. I love you. God loves you. Be blessed. Amen. See you next Sunday.